both in Skull and Bones.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Special greetings, all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're going to continue today, as we do most days here, just going through the Bible, book by book, and chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And last time we ended up in Psalms, Psalm 68. And we ended up in Psalm 68 and verse 4, where it says, "Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him." And we talked a little bit about the name and how you can do a search in your eSword, and that's what I'm using here if you're following along. And we have a wonderful tool that costs you absolutely nothing to obtain. I don't really like to say it's free, but it is free to those that take it and never offer a donation or anything for it. But if you take it and you use it and you find it useful, you might want to give a donation to the website. But you can download it there for free, try it out for as long as you want or forever if you want to. Nobody's going to complain if you do. The website to get this Bible software program is e-sword.net. And when you download the program, you get the King James, authorized King James Version. And you get the Greek and Hebrews concordance, dictionary, pronunciations with that. And what happens is every word or every place where a word or two in English is translated from the Hebrew or the original language Greek, if you mouse over the number, because they use the Strong's numbering system, a little box pops up, and you get the word in the original language. If you can read the Hebrew or the Greek or whatever the case may be, and you get a pronunciation. And then you get definitions and explanations for the word. So it's a wonderful tool. It gives you an insight into the Textus Receptus, and that is the text from which the authorized King James Version was translated, or the majority text. They could call it several different things. We'll call it the Textus Receptus, the received text, the majority text, from which the translators of the 1611 translated the original King James Version Bible, which was updated in the 1790s into the form we have now, the authorized King James Version. The authorized King James Version is the best English version that we have. It's the best English translation of the scriptures that we have, and especially when used in conjunction with this tool that we have here, eSword, where we can look into the original languages, we can search out those words in the original language. Like I can take any word here in the Hebrew, and I can highlight the number and do a search on it. And I can see where that word was used and how the translators translated that word because many times a word will be translated differently, and we find out in the Hebrew and the Greek, especially the Hebrew, is so much context related or context dependent for translation. So we have a wonderful tool here, and we talked about the name of God, or Yah, and I also have downloaded, and that's free there at e-sword.net. If you go to their translations, you can get the King James Version 1611 too. And if you look at that, excuse me, and if you look at the 1611 translation, it will actually have a phonetically pronounced, instead of where in the King James it says Jah, but nobody says Jah. His name is Yah, as in Hallelujah. I've never heard anyone say Hallelujah yet, unless it was me saying it in this context. No one says Hallelujah, but some people do say Jehovah. Of course, the J should be pronounced silently, but it has become pronounced, and thus we get the name Jesus, Joseph, John, instead of Yohanan, the Hebrew, or Yahshua in the Hebrew for Jesus, and so or Yahuwah, we get Jehovah, because people tend to pronounce things the way they look rather than the way they should be pronounced. So I like to practice pronouncing the names phonetically, especially for the name of the Creator. I think that's important that everybody understand. And I'll even use the names interchangeably. When I open up the program, sometimes I'll say Yahshua for all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah, or it could even say Jesus. I'm not one that believes you have to say the name, and if you don't say the name right, you're not really worshiping God or anything like that. But I do think it's important to expose the truth and that we should learn the truth. If I went to a foreign land, they wouldn't figure out what my name means and then figure out foreign words for that name and start calling me by foreign words. They would call me Nicholas, no matter where I went. They would call me by my name, because a name should not be translated. Basically, a name should be carried over, phonetically pronounced correctly, according to the nativity of that name, the way it's pronounced in the land where it originates. So in any translation, and any good translator knows that you don't translate names. You translate every word but the name. You just bring the name over. And you perhaps may carry the name over, and you may have to give a pronunciation for it, depending on the difficulty in the language that you're bringing it over into. But give it thousands of years or hundreds of years, and you can see why things have gone the way they've gone. And that's the best explanation I can come up with. I'm not sure any conspiracy is at work here in the changing of the names and all that. I'm not really sure about that. I haven't found no evidence for any such thing. But if you go to my website, it's crosstheborder.org, and you'll see that up there at the top of the website with a photograph of me. And underneath, across the border, it has my name, Nicholas Arthur, and it says Biblical Studies. So that's what I'm into here. I'm into Biblical Studies. And, of course, the purpose of Biblical Studies for me is to bring me closer to my Creator and to help me to live a life that's pleasing to Him. But also involved with Biblical Studies is understanding all of these things that I speak about on a daily basis, not only the names historically, going back into the history of the Bible and pronunciations and how we got the form of the scripture we got today, but to understanding prophecy, and also to understanding how to apply the Bible, the Word of God, to our life today. Yes, it's very important, because here we are, and it is today. And really, that's what it's all about for us, is how does this affect us today? How do we apply the principles found in the Scripture to our modern society, the modern society that we live in, our daily walk, and how we interface with the world? How can we be in the world and not of it, and to understanding how we are in the world, how we are tangled or entangled in the world system, and we need to become disentangled from it. A good understanding, because sometimes we don't see things too clearly when we're in the muck and the mire of this life, especially having grown up with so much mind pollution being pumped into our brains from every source, from the media, from the school systems, from the popular music and movies, you name it, it's going in. Then we have to deal with our own sin nature. All of these things, these are the things that are important to us, and we want to apply His Word to all of these things today with a clear understanding. And so that's why, that's what biblical studies is about for me, all of that and so much more. So we continue here in our biblical studies in Psalm 68 and verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of widows is God in His holy habitation. You know, this was this verse right here, 68:5, could have been it. But there are several verses in the Psalms that speak of a father to the fatherless. And this was one of the first verses in my life that really had a profound impact on me. A father of the fatherless. Well, that would only have a profound impact on you if you were fatherless. And you know, I've told people about my Plymouth Road experience before. Paul had his Damascus Road experience. Well, I had my Plymouth Road experience. I was had some good friends. I was homeless and fatherless, and staying with a friend in a town, in another town where I did not really live, because like I said, I was homeless at the time, but staying with some friends, and the sister, the daughter of the house, dragged me down to this Pentecostal church, and dragged me down there, that's right, and I went in there, and they started babbling in tongues and laying hands on me, and somehow I ended up on the floor. I wasn't struck by the Holy Spirit, at least I don't think, unless He strikes you with laughter, because the whole situation to me at the time, and I'll never forget it, seemed hilarious. It was so funny to me. I'd never seen anything or people act like this before. Yes, they were babbling in different tongues, and some of them in English and praying, and they had me there, and they laid hands on me, and like I said, I ended up on the floor rolling in laughter because it was so hilarious to me. So, you know, when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, well, I have a pretty good understanding of what Paul was talking about, the conduct in the fellowship there, that if an outsider comes in, will he not think that you are mad, something like that. Anyway, I thought these people were mad. But they did something dangerous, and I don't want to question the genuineness of the people, because I believe that they were very genuine, and many of them became my good friends after a while. But they did something dangerous. They gave me a Bible, and of course it was the Holy Spirit that brought me back there. And so I'd walk back and forth, and one day I was walking and reading that Bible, that King James Bible that they gave me, and I came across this verse, and it says that He is a father to the fatherless. And right there, that was when the Spirit of God fell on me, kind of like the Spirit of God fell on our good friend Paul as he was walking on that Damascus Road. I had an encounter of the whatever kind, but of the heavenly kind, I guess I should say, where I fairly met God face to face, and He offered me the adoption as a father to the fatherless. All I had to do was accept it, because, you know, our Heavenly Father, He gives us free will, and He gives it to us. He does not He does not use force. He does not force anyone to his kingdom, nor does he force anyone to stay there. And he offered me the adoption, and I took it. And right there, I received the Holy Ghost. And walking by myself on that on Plymouth Road, walking home, reading the Bible as I was walking, and had my experience. That was the day that I was born again. And Yahshua, he said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I entered that day. And without the full understanding that I have today, of course, of what actually happened. But I can look back and I can remember that day, and I'll remember it forever. And I'm sure that there'll be a day when I remember it better than I remember it today, when I become like him and know all things. But he is a father to the fatherless, so he adopted me that day. I accepted the adoption, and we all can be adopted into his family. We all become fatherless at some point. Even if our earthly father still lives, we definitely need a heavenly father. And it says he is a judge of the widows. God is God in his holy habitation. Psalm 68, verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So there's an answer to the solitary that will not enter into families, I guess, is they're rebellious, so they have to dwell in a dry land. And the dry land is that solitary. And I know a lot of people find, sanctuary in solitary. But I like to have a lot of people around me, myself, speaking for myself anyway. And I look so forward to the resurrection, when things won't be as they are now, where all of our desires for fellowship will be completely fulfilled. That'll be a wonderful time. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. I'm not sure I have a really good understanding of what that means. From our good friend Henry. And he says, from that low and despised condition they had been advanced to splendor and prosperity when they were bond slaves in Egypt, and afterwards when they were oppressed, sometimes by one potent neighbor and sometimes by another, they did, as it were, lie among the pots or rubbish. Okay, so that's the kind of pot we're talking about. The kind that they call it the throne today. It's in the one, the little room. It's got a little toilet paper roller by it. Yes, they still call it a pot today. So that's what he's saying here. Okay, now I get it. Good friend Henry, if you download your eSword, you'll get Henry's commentary too there. They have all the commentaries. So when you get stuck on a word or an understanding, though you have lain among the pots, so... And that would be like, though you have lain among the outhouses, there you go, yet shall you be as wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Ah, now it makes sense to me. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, a high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, Yahuwah, and here we use the name in the Hebrew, the 3068, where it says the Lord in the Authorized King James Version. It says Yahuwah will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. And here the reference to leading captivity captive is, of course, in context here, would be bringing the children of Israel, those that were captive out of Egypt. And we have this phrase again used when the Son of God led captivity captive, and that is he set the captives free from paradise, that compartment in hell that Yeshua tells us about when he tells us about Lazarus and the rich man. And sometimes I might mistakenly think that that was a parable, but I don't believe it was a parable, because I believe that was an actual true happenstance or story that Yeshua relayed to us, or at least it would have been as he relayed it. It was something that out of the reality of what hell was and how those that were captive there were being comforted in Abraham's bosom until the Messiah would come and set them free so they could move on to the resurrection of life. And so now we when we pass on from this mortal existence, we do not have to go to Abraham's bosom. We just go directly to the resurrection of life. Yes, we kind of go around time to that last trump event where we will all meet when that trumpet sounds. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.
Yes, Lord. Oh, you're good to us. You're worthy of our praise. Let's just sing it to him.
We love you, we worship you, adore you, we lift up your name. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy of blessing and honor, and we give you praise. You're worthy of glory. Soon coming King, oh.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Continuing here in Psalm 68, we got to verse 18 there. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that Yahuwah God might dwell among them. And there we have it. It's interesting. I always try to pay attention to this, and it says Yah here instead of where it says the Lord. So you have just plain Yah instead of Yahuwah in the Hebrew, so that Yah God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Yes, are you have you been paying attention? Are you being daily loaded with benefits? Yes, I am loaded every day with benefits. I have the benefit of a brand new day, the benefit of serving Him another day, the benefits just everything that He gives me, all of the opportunities to live a life of obedience to Him and to enjoy all of His benefits. Verse 20, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. And, you know, I looked into this. We have Yah, we have Yahuwah, and then we have here Yahuwah. And I looked into this, and it says here, in order to prevent repetition of the same sound, since they elsewhere pronounced 3068, and so on. And that's, I was wondering about the differences, because sometimes it's Yahuwah, and here it says Yahuwah, and our good friend Strong's, and I'm looking at chapter 68, verse 20, where it says unto God, whereas Yahuwah would be translated the Lord. He just translates it here in the authorized version as capital G-O-D. And it says here, to prevent repetition of the same sound, they pronounce the name differently. And perhaps it was because they were singing it in Hebrew that they would pronounce it differently, because you would call that artistic license. They took artistic license with the name to pronounce it differently. And if you ever wondered about that, but most people probably never even noticed that the Hebrews had different ways to pronouncing the name. So we have Yahuwah, Yahuwah, and of course then they use just plain Yah. But our explanation from our good friend Strong's is that in order to prevent repetition of the same sound, so we'll call it artistic license, that He is our God, is the God of our salvation, and unto Yahuwah, the Lord, belongeth the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So if you've given your life to our Heavenly Father, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, and you said the sinner's prayer, walked down the Romans road, whatever you did, and call yourself a believer, it says here that He shall wound the head of His enemies and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. And what that means is those that don't truly repent, because there's repentance, you know, saying the words repentance and saying I'm sorry, and some people call that repentance and they think that's enough, but it's not enough, because that's repentance in word only. If you goeth on still in your trespasses, then you haven't truly repented. Those that truly repent are those that learn obedience. Doesn't mean you become perfect, perfectly sinless for the rest of your life once you repent. It means that you learn obedience. It means you may fall down seven times, as the scripture says, the righteous man falls seven times and gets back up, and until he learns how to walk. And many of you fathers, mothers out there, parents, you know that your child just didn't get up and walk like a horse. The programming just ain't in the brain. Something different about the programming of people. I see the little chicks, they hatch out of the eggs and they're up and walking around and pecking at the ground. Because that's the programming that our Heavenly Father, our Creator, gave them. That they can't live without it. The colt gets up and walks immediately. The programming's right in there. Built right in, but He programmed us a little differently. We have to learn how to walk. And so it is when we repent. We have to learn how to walk. We don't just get up like the colt, but we learn how to walk. And when we enter into His kingdom, when we repent, we still fall down, but we keep getting back up until we learn obedience. That's what it means to repent. to truly repent. Yes, the words come first. Yes, the emotions and the feelings come with those words first, but that is not repentance. Remember Yahshua, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower. And so you see those that truly repented, they all repented. Yes, they all repented emotionally. They went through the motions at first. They felt, you know, they felt the feelings. They said the right words or had the right thoughts or said the right prayer or however it was that their change in their life came about, but not many endured. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. I just had to throw that in there because not many endured. And why did they not endure? Because that repentance never turned into works. Bring forth the works meet for repentance. As it says here in the Psalms, it says, I just lost my place there. Oh yes, there we go. Psalm 68 verse 21. It says, goeth on still in his trespasses. So we know that he will wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of one as of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. So here he's talking about the enemies that he's going to wound, and such a one that continues after their wound in their trespass. So how much more applicable is that to us that call him our Lord? Continuing, the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. Well, I just learned a little something. I guess every culture, it would seem, not every culture. Subcultures eat dogs, but I guess in Israel, they had dogs too, or pets, because it says that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies. And if you know anything about war, well, if you're fighting a battle, you won't want to be stepping in your enemy's blood, not your own. And it says, and the tongue of your dogs in the same, because of course dogs will lick up the blood of anything. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls, and the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Warmongers. Yes, who delights in war? War is a terrible thing, a necessary thing. There's a time for it, but those that delight in it will be scattered. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his mighty voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And of course here in Psalm 68 verse 35 where it says, O God, thou art terrible. I guess the word that we would use today, thou art awesome, you know, because that's what terrible meant and in the older English. And words do change meaning. Terrible now, well, would be more representable to terror. And yes, he would be a terror to the wicked and to all of those that that love idolatry. He is a terror to them. But we would use the word awesome for us. And I'll tell you, people throw around the word awesome like it's nothing. You know, this is awesome, that's awesome. Hey, that's, oh, that's awesome. You know, and people just, awesome, awesome, awesome. And I think, okay, you know, it's almost like lying, because most of what people say is awesome is not even awesome at all, you know. It's like no big deal. It's like ordinary. You know, now ordinary has become awesome. Well, you know, if ordinary is awesome, well, then I don't know. Some people need to get a life. I prefer to reserve the word awesome only for my God and the works that and the things that he has done and the promises that he made. Now, they are awesome. That he has saved me from my sin, that's awesome. Him riding upon the heavens is awesome. His creative power is awesome. His technology is awesome. You know, we can't come near it. You know, you got your new tech computers, your big screen TVs, and your cell phones, and you think that's awesome. That ain't nothing. You know, it's nothing compared to what he has done. Nothing compared to what we will have when that last trump sounds and we are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ are raised, and then we will know what awesome is. Like we have never known, and everything that anyone has ever called awesome will pale. So if you're out there throwing awesome at everything that's just ordinary, well, I don't know. I think people just get hear it and it sounds, it's cliquish. So people adopt and do things that are cliquish because maybe it makes them sound cool, right? And I don't mean cool as in temperature wise. Okay, we'll move on here. Chapter 69, there we go, Psalm 69, and verse 1. To the chief musician upon, we got a new word here, Shoshanah. Anyway, Shoshanim. And what does that mean? It's another Hebrew word that the translators neglected to translate for us. As a flower or architectural ornament. Now, see, you'd have never known that, would you? You'd have just, most people just read it and skipped over it without looking it up. Upon Shoshanim, it's a flower or architectural ornament. And, or trumpet. Ah, also a straight trumpet. You know, and that's what I would say here, since this is music, that it's a trumpet. From the tubular shape, and that's where they get the architectural ornament. I guess they named the trumpet after an architectural shape, apparently. So, upon the trumpet, a psalm of David. So now when I read this, you have to hear trumpets. There you go. A psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. And yes, there's a piece called Flood by Jars of Clay. It's just beautiful. That just, you know, you can feel this. Of course, I don't think there's many trumpets in that rendition, but anyway, it's a beautiful piece. Just reminds me of that. And that's what it's really about. Is this type of, or this psalm anyway. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, bring mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee but be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. And what is David saying here? He's borne reproach. He's saying, let those that wait on you not be ashamed because of my reproach, because of the things that have come upon me. Don't let them look at me and despise you. You know, it's like so many good men and evil men in the ministry have fallen, and some for righteousness' sake are persecuted, and some for sin's sake are reproached. And so what David would be saying here is that don't let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. So regardless of what happens to the righteous, good or ill, whether persecution or they fall because of their own sin, let it not keep you from our Heavenly Father, as it does. Many people will use that as an excuse to despise God, to continue in their idolatry, because they'll see the righteous man fall, or those posing as righteous fall from their own wickedness, and then they'll see the persecution of the righteous with false accusations brought against them, and they'll use that as an excuse to continue in their idolatry and sin. But I'll tell you what, when the day comes, when the trumpet sounds, well, they won't be there. They won't rise from the dead. They'll be waiting for that second resurrection while they're over there with the rich man who didn't make it to paradise and just wanted Lazarus to drop a drop of water on his tongue. They'll be over there waiting for their judgment day, the second resurrection, the resurrection of the damned to judgment. And all of their excuses will just fall away. Everything that they thought to continue in their idolatry and their unrighteousness and their wickedness, all of the excuses they made, well, I can't follow God. Look at what that religious leader did, how he fell into sin, or he was with that prostitute or whatever. And how about those trumped up charges that they brought against that other guy and put him in prison? And when those charges didn't stick, they trumped up some other ones, but because so they could persecute that man and put an end to his work. And see, and then they just revel in it so they can continue. Really, all they're doing is justifying themselves. All they're doing is saying, look at those guys, I'm not that bad. If this is godliness, then surely my wickedness and my idolatry is A-okay. That's all they're saying, that I can stand before God and God will excuse me if he excuses them. And all of it will fall away. And not only will they be convicted for their idolatry and their wickedness, but they'll be punished for all of the accusations that they brought against the righteous men of God. They'll be punished for their persecution of his holy people and those that called on his name. They would not enter into his kingdom. They would not even see their sin or repent. They just continued in their wickedness. It'll be a sad day for them, the day that they die. Because, yes, we all shall surely die. That death sentence has been going on from the day that Adam and Eve ate that fruit. The Heavenly Father proclaimed, in the day you eat of, you shall surely die. And each one of us, we have that death sentence on us. Because we all shall surely die. Only a fool would ignore that fact. But there are plenty of fools out there not making preparation for the day that they shall surely die. There's no more important day to make preparation for than that one, because that is the threshold of eternity. And if you don't, if you just, all you think about is a short life, then you're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my name's sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. And yes, if we ever bear a reproach, let it be for his sake. And that's what David says here. And all of those righteous that are suffering reproach today unjustly for his sake. Let us, if we suffer reproach, let it be for his sake. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Yes, if a reproach is going to fall upon me, let it be the reproaches of them that reproach our Creator. Let those reproaches fall upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. And we'll pick up here when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to take a break here for the news. We'll see you after that.
Yes, God.